are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rotino. You can follow him as well on Twitter at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we'll be going through a wild game from Thursday as the Brewers come out with an extra innings win to earn a split of the series against the San Diego Padres. But it was, like I said, a wild game, so there's a lot to get into there. So looking forward to breaking that down with Vinny. Before we get into the game, a reminder, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app now and join me the next time that I go live during a Brewers game. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Not really any news from Thursday. There was some news during the game. Daniel Robertson left Thursday's game with a calf cramp, so I'll have to keep an eye on that. He just came back off the IL, so hopefully he's not going back on. But not really much news otherwise for the Brewers. So we'll jump quickly into the game. I'm going to go through this recap kind of quickly because, like I said, there's a lot to get through that I want to break down. The Brewers got a double and a walk in the first against Ryan Weathers, but couldn't cash in. Hauser retired the first nine batters that he faced before running into trouble in the fourth inning. But with two on and one out, Pham got caught stealing, which ended up being a huge play that helped Hauser wiggle out of that mess. The Brewers were able to cash in on a one-out double by Robertson in the fifth inning as Adames brought him in. And the Brewers got a gift from Fernando Tatis to score another one to take a 2-0 lead. That was kind of a weird play there. There's a ball deep in the hole. Tatis kind of got to it, but kind of didn't, as it kind of bounced off his glove and trickled into left field. And then he still tried to make a play, probably should have aided at that point, but tried to make a play and the ball got away. Allowed a score to run and runners to advance there, but Brewers will definitely take it with the way they're struggling to score runs lately. So the Brewers take an early 2-0 lead. Hauser lifted after five innings and 84 pitches, only allowed one hit, one walk, no earned and four Ks. And Benny, this is one spot I want to jump and get your take on. Obviously, in hindsight, it's easier to look back and see, but did you think that was the right decision there, taking Hauser out? He had been so good all game. Like I said, other than that one inning where he ran into some trouble, he's only at 84 pitches. You think the council could have got another one out of him?
I agree with council's move right there. And it's hard to agree with him because I'm seeing it from both sides. I see the fact that this guy was on his game tonight. He ran into a little trouble. He was going through the lineup for the third time again. We've seen Council do this in the past to him where he's kind of given him the early hook. I think Council was just being precautionary. I think he wanted him to kind of feel good about his outing. Like, he didn't want him to, because at times, like, the wheels will fall off for Adrian Hauser. And we saw that in the last two outings. Every outing before that, he's been pretty solid, like maybe more than pretty solid. I mean, pretty darn good, right? And I think there's multiple reasons why I yanked him there. Get him to feel good about his outing. Even though the kid's a competitor, he probably wanted to stay in the game. But now Hauser feels really good. Team gets a win. Didn't allow Hauser the opportunity for the wheels to fall off, which, like I said, I think we'll see less of that going forward from him, which is very, very encouraging. But I loved the way that he pitched tonight. And I do agree with the move, even though I can see it from both sides.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with it. You disagreed with me last night, so I'm going to disagree.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Okay. And I have the, you know, I have the fortune of hindsight here, obviously, as I know how things played out, but I would have at least let Hauser start the sixth inning the way he was pitching and kind of rolling. And I'm not as big believer as the bullpen arms out there as maybe Council and maybe even you are right now. So I would have let Hauser keep rolling.
That's a good point.
And
that's a really good point.
Yeah, see, you're coming over now. But I probably would have at least let him start the sixth inning. But if he would have ran into trouble, then I would have quickly gone to the bullpen, because then, like you said, to your point, we have seen things kind of snowball on him in the past. But I just think with the state of the bullpen, I would have liked to seen Houser get a shot to at least go back out there for the sixth. And as we know, like I said, Trevor Richards comes in, blows the lead immediately, gives up a double to Pham. And then another double to Tatis, and then you get the homer by Eric Hosmer. And next thing you know, the Brewers are down 3-2. We'll get in more on that later. However, after a Wong single and a Yelich walk to begin the seventh, Willie Adames comes through again with a 3-run home run to get the lead back at 5-3. And suddenly you're feeling really good about the Brewers' chances, because you know you got Devin Williams and Josh Hader ready to go. But Vinny, nothing's easy for this team this year, or at least over the last month or so. The Padres come right back in the eighth off Devin Williams, and Vinny, your guy, Jerickson Profar, got it all started. I thought he had a great at bat to start that eighth inning. He fell behind 1-2, fouled off some tough pitches and drew a walk there. Later he stole second and scored on a hit by Tatis, and then Hosmer got another hit. And then Machado, who we hadn't seen all series, comes up with a pinch hit. Ties it up, but then again, Willie Adames, player of the game, cuts down Hosmer at the plate with a great throw. I thought that was a risky move by the Padres, trying to send Hosmer there with one out. I mean, it took a great throw, no doubt, a great relay, really, from JBJ and Adames to cut him down at the plate, but thought that was a little too risky for my liking with just one out in the inning, but works out in the Brewers' favor there. We go to extras, and this time Suter keeps the Padres off the board and gives the Brewers a chance in the bottom half. They get a sack bunt down. Keston Hira gets a sack bunt down with the runner over the third, but Urias was unable to bring the runner in with a shallow fly out. But then JBJ comes through, gets the walk-off hit, and gives the Brewers the much-needed win, 6-5, and they do earn a split of the series against the Padres, which is huge. Like me and Vinny talked about before, coming into this series, you'd have told me the Brewers would earn a split with the way the Padres are playing. I would have taken that all day. It's tough, kind of tough in hindsight, knowing that you could have won, you know, really every game in this series, but at least three of them. But still, you'll take a split against a team like the Padres. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and dive deeper into this game. Before we do that, let me tell you about Lucy.co. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in three flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down pat. Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer, warning, this product contains nicotine delivered from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Again, that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONMLB. All right, Vinny. So obviously a lot to dive through in this game. And for me, the one thing that really stood out in this, obviously Willie Adames is a player of the game, but I think this game encompasses the good and the bad of this Willie Adames trade, because it exposes what I think to be a huge weakness for this team in the middle relief with Trevor Richards, who I don't consider to be a high leverage type pitcher. And then again, with Houser only going five innings, you need somebody as kind of that middle guy, that wedge guy, to get the game to Williams and Hader in the end. I don't see Richards as that guy in a close game. Again, it's a 2-0 game here, but I really don't know who else they can use right now. Again, Boxberger, Williams, Hader, those are, and Suter, to an extent, those are the three or four guys that I somewhat trust right now. And even everybody except Hader on that I just mentioned is a little shaky at times. Again, I think the Adames trade, you know, exposes the weakness of this bullpen, giving up guys like Rasmussen and Fireisen, and the bullpen just not able to get it done there in the middle innings. But on the flip side of that, you see the wins of this trade and the definite positives, because I mean, Adames was huge, and this one had four RBIs, had that great throw to cut down Hosmer at the plate. So, Vinny, again, I think this game just kind of tells you, encompasses everything about that trade, the good and the bad.
That's a really good take on that, Jake. I think you nailed it. I do think the Brewers the Brewers are better off now with Adames. I know it's a short sample size. The first time really I've seen the kid play, but there's some upside there with the bat. Clearly, I mean, easy to say after he goes 4-for-4, but I do think that I like the swing. There's bat speed, there's strength. Seems that he can see the baseball. And I do think that there is just a ton of upside. The other thing that he brings is a ton of energy to this team. Almost like an energy that was kind of filled after the void of the energy that Arcia brought to the team and to the middle infield. So again, not to take anything away from Urias, but I just think that this kid is a player, and he's talented as can be. So ton of upside there, 25-year-old kid with control. But you're also – so the – I think those positives outweigh the negatives of the middle relief issues. So I do agree with you there. I think the middle relief is going to struggle until some guys can kind of step up. Perhaps – and I'm just throwing this out here on a whim, just kind of literally no inside information on this whatsoever, but perhaps they have big plans for Aaron Ashby. I know he's pitching well, and he has pitched well in AAA. Maybe stretch him out a little bit and maybe have him be, a go-to middle relief arm. And that's how a lot of guys break in, even though I do believe in him as a starter. A lot of guys break in this way. You see that from Michael Kopech with the Chicago White Sox. I do think he's going to end up being a starter. I think perhaps maybe the team sees the same thing out of Aaron Ashby, and he could be a real, real weapon in the middle relief for the Brewers here going forward. We'll see if that happens. Again, I'm just throwing that out there. It's a hot take, so pretty hot. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Vinny coming in hot. I think that's definitely a possibility. However, I think that would be later in the year. I think you let him continue to start and get those reps as a starter. But yeah, that's definitely a second half option. We see a lot of teams do that going into the postseason, calling up young guys. Ryan Weathers, who started the game for the Padres tonight and was really good, he's somebody that they brought in, in the playoffs last year. He made his major league debut in the playoffs. So you see a lot of teams do that with young starters. So I definitely think, there's a possibility for that to happen, but I think it would be later in the year. Plus, obviously, with a lot of these young pitchers not getting innings last year, you're going to see teams limit those anyway. So again, it's a good way for Ashby to come up, get a taste of the major leagues, and keep his innings limits low by allowing him to come out of the bullpen. So good hot take there from Benny. We'll have to see how that plays out. Speaking of Urias, so you mentioned a minute ago, as far as, him being pushed aside for Adames, I think Urias has been pretty solid at third base. He made a couple of good plays at third base tonight, including the 1-2 in the game there. Do you think moving to a corner spot, shortstop such a primary position, you think it's possible moving to a corner spot's kind of taken some pressure off of him there defensively?
Takes a spotlight off him, definitely. Also a good insight and good hot take by you as well there, right there, Jake.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. We're doing great today. We're 2-2.
Man, sizzling. So yep. Urias is the spotlight's on him at shortstop, the magnifying glass, whatever you want to call it. It's just like on him. It's such an important position in the middle. I always found third base to be the hardest position in the infield. However, it is less, I guess, stressful. The test will be when he's got to go to kind of that big second hop type of a play where he has to kind of retreat and make one step back, and then he's got to set his feet and make that longer throw to first. So that'll be a test. But yeah, I mean, it takes the pressure off him, and he's able to not have to be the man in the infield, because really that is what your shortstop is. And it's been that way for 120 years or however long the game's been played, and it won't change. And I do think that that's the importance of a really strong defensive shortstop.
It takes a personality to play shortstop. I firmly believe that. I mean, I watched a lot of shortstops in my day, and you almost have to have a confidence, almost cockiness, but in a good way, to play the shortstop position. I don't know that Arias has that. You see that clearly with Adames. I mean, it shows up right away. So I just don't know if he has that in him. I've always viewed him more as a second baseman myself anyway. But I think he's looked pretty good over there defensively at third base since making the move. Throws have been much better. So maybe that's somewhere where he kind of settles in. We'll have to see. Obviously need him to pick it up with the bat as well. Speaking of guys that need to pick it up with the bat, JBJ came through with that big hit. He's still hitting just 157 on the year, but got the big walk-off hit there. That has to be huge for his confidence. Hopefully it gets him going. But Vinny, Brewers played small ball here. I don't know if it was called by Craig Counsell or if Keston did it on his own, but you know, after the Padres didn't score in the top of the 10th, Keston got down the bunt, you know, also probably, you know, the good time to do it for somebody who, you know, hasn't been hitting well at the major league level this year. He gets the bunt down, and all your small ball detractors are going to say the bunt didn't mean anything in the end because they didn't get the sac fly to bring him in. But you don't know how JBJ would have pitched differently if the runner is standing at second to third. I mean, when you have a runner at third, pitchers are scared to throw the ball in the dirt. So it takes away, you know, a pitch from them in the back of their mind anyways, that they don't want to spike one in the dirt and have a run come in. So even though the small ball, you know, didn't necessarily work out for him here, I still think it was the right call and the right move in that situation, Vinny.
It's a great call there too. I mean, I think, I mean, you're full of them tonight, Jake. I do think, I do think there's a little bit more pressure on the hitter too. I don't know. I can't even describe it, but there's some pressure on you when there's a runner at second base. You don't really necessarily know that your hit is going to get the run in. It just seems easier once he's at third. So you just got to kind of barrel something up, find a hole, an infield hit even, right? I had my fair share of those when I played off the barrel jam jobs that went for a hit that score runs. It's just a little bit more of a more comfort level, a little more pressure on the pitcher. Just like you said, they're a little bit afraid to really get through that nasty slider or whatever their out pitch is. And for Diaz, it's his changeup. And so maybe just, chokes it off just a little bit or cuts it off just a little bit and just doesn't get through it as well. And that's what happened on that changeup. JBJ, it kind of hung up there a little bit and he really smashed it, pulled it to the pull side there. JBJ does it, just another take on that. JBJ never seems like a guy that really is affected by a slump. I mean, this is a season long slump and he still looks like the same guy to me in terms of like, he's hitting some balls hard right at guys. He's having some tough luck, but he doesn't ever seem like he's panicking. It always feels like he's just a couple of at bats away from getting locked back in. I like that about JBJ. Obviously he's the ultimate pro. I really like him. He's such a leader on the team, and I think he's going to get hot and kind of he'll be a guy that could carry the team for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Brewers could certainly use somebody to help carry this offense right now. But again, another big hit for him. Hopefully that kind of sparks him and he can get going here over the next several weeks. We'll take another quick break and then we'll see if I have any hot takes left in me. Before we do that, let me tell you about Wealthfront. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. Again, to get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings today. The show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip, fudge, or cookies and cream. They also have a bunch of different flavors from coconut to almond toffee to mint, obviously the peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good. They're not hard as a rock like a lot of other protein bars out there. They have a soft, chewy middle, so it's easy to get down. It's very good, very tasty, and they're great for you. Most of them only have about 5 net carbs, so whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether it's just a snack for you, you can eat them anytime. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So, Vinny, finishing this one up on a high note, two really good performances that stand out for the Brewers on Thursday, one of which being Adrian Houser and the other one being Adamas. Talk about Houser first and just his outing, what you saw from him. And, you know, again, is this the beginning of him sort of getting back on track after a couple of clunkers?
It is. I think a couple of clunkers will help him in terms of getting back to what he did today. I think, again, I've said this all year after talking to Chris Hook, it's just a matter of this pitching staff being really good at just kind of focusing on the process and focusing on executing pitches and not really worrying about results. Harder, easier said than done, but at the end of the day, Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff are going to get away with a ton of mistakes, even if they're trying to overthrow, right? Even if they're trying to make their stuff nastier. With Adrian Houser, it's a little bit magnified when he tries to do that, because with a sinker guy, it can get flat, and then that sinker gets hammered when it gets flat, and then his off speed is out of the zone. We saw some nasty sinkers tonight. I mean, best player in the league, arguably, Fernando Tatis, swung and missed at a nasty sinker that started in off the plate and then ran further in off the plate in his second at bat. I think it was the second at bat. And it was an ugly swing from Tatis. You don't see that very often. And it was on a fastball, a sinker at 94, 95 miles an hour, whatever it was. So I do think this is a great outing for him, just because it shows him how to get back into his good groove.
Yeah, for sure. Again, we saw some really good stuff from Houser earlier in the year. Had a couple of rough starts. Really, the pitch count just got way up there. I thought he was really good in this one. Thought maybe he should have been given the chance to go another one. And then Adamas, 4-hit game. Been really huge for the Brewers since coming over. Has 7 hits, 6 RBIs, 4 runs scored since joining the Brewers. But not just that, it's the defense. We've already seen a ton of great plays from him. I mean, you could say the throw to home to cut Hosmer down today, I mean, saved the game for them. You know, if he doesn't do that, then the Padres likely win this game in 9 innings. So Adamas has been huge. Can't say enough about the addition of him. We talked a lot about him already on this podcast. But turning the page this weekend, the Brewers will take on the Washington Nationals. Vinny's going to be covering the game on Brewers Live, so make sure you check that out. But Vinny, what are you looking forward to this weekend in that series?
Brewers sweep.
Okay. All right. Ending on another hot take here.
Another hot take. Brewers are going to have to continue to execute, or they're going to have to do a better job of executing in general. They have done in terms of stringing together some hits, hitting with runners in scoring position. Obviously, they've hit some balls hard, and we talked about that a ton with how unlucky that they have been. Continue to do that, and the results will come. don't get out of your approach. Don't expand your zone. Don't try and do too much. Just continue to hit the ball hard. It's, and the results will come. It's such a hard thing to do. I can't stress that enough, how hard that is to trust. But they just have to find a way to do that. And I think, you know, they match up well against Washington. I think it's a team they should beat. Kind of need to keep Trey Turner in check, obviously best player on the arguably best player on the field. Coming into this game, really, really electric type player with just elite tools. So got to keep him in check. But other than that, I think they match up well.
Yeah, it should be a pretty favorable matchup, I think. Obviously, they have that Juan Soto kid as well. He's pretty good. But as far as the pitching matchups go, looks like it's going to be Anderson versus Lester on Friday, Peralta versus Corbin on Saturday, and Woodruff versus Scherzer on Sunday. That should be a lot of fun in the finale there. So some good pitching matchups, but again, the Nationals are 21-25. They've not exactly been on fire this year. But again, like Vinny said, you keep Turner off the base pass in front of Soto. And it's a really good recipe for beating the Nationals, as they just don't have a ton behind those two. So looking forward to this series. Vinny's calling for the sweep. I definitely think the Brewers should win this series. We'll see if they're able to get the job done. We also won't have a podcast on Monday, or at least not planning to, with it being Memorial Day. So we'll be back with you on Tuesday. So make sure you all have a great Memorial Day weekend and be safe out there. And that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.